You may turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1, as we begin a new study and a new series. We're calling this series The Church of Acts. There's a lot of churches out there. What kind of church do we want ours to be? You can go out into our fair city, you can find a liberal church, a church that waters down the gospel, a church that doesn't take the scriptures seriously, a church that is really not interesting in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can go and you can find the liberal church. It's more of a charitable organization. You go there, you hear a feel-good sermon, maybe a sort of a self-help sermon. You go there and you're engaged in the social gospel. The church is there to help out in society. It's a charitable organization, doing good works, no doubt. But the gospel, the real gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not there. It's watered down. It's in the back seat. It's not really part of the church's program. It's the liberal church. You can go down the road a bit further, find a political church, a church that is motivated politically. You sit in the pew, the pastor is going to preach, and his agenda is going to be heard. He is attempting to convince you to vote his way, to move the church, to be engaged in the political structure of our country. It's a very patriotic church. It's a very political church. It's a church that is engaged in protesting and in vote getting. And they're out there on the streets trying to turn their community and their state and their nation around. Go down the road a bit further, you find the dead church. A church that is set in its ways. A church, no matter the size, they tend to be very small. A church that has its committees, its boards, its rules, its way of doing things, its traditions. They're not interested in anything new, in anything spiritual. They don't want any fresh ideas or young blood stirring up the old thing that they have going on there. It's a dead church. It's a church of the flesh rather than a church of the spirit. What kind of a church do you want to be a part of? What kind of a church do you want your membership to be with? What kind of a church should this be? We go back to the book of Acts so that we may learn about the church of Acts. We find principles from this first church, from this prototypical church, principles that are the basic building blocks of a true church of Jesus Christ. We go not to the liberal church, not to the political church, certainly not to the dead church, to find how we should structure our church. We go to the Bible. We go to the book of Acts. We go to the church of Acts to learn what we should be doing, what should be our business here, to learn what the Lord would expect of us. As we look at the church of Acts, we see the historical origins of the church. We go way back. We go back before traditions. We go back before denominations. We go back to a time when there were 120 disciples in an upper room waiting on the promise of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You see, he was leaving them. He was there on the Mount of Olives. And before he ascended out of their sight, he told his disciples, his people, his followers, there is work for you to do. It's only just begun. You have been witnesses of the gospel. I have come that men might have life. I have given my life on Calvary, on the tree, as I died to set men free from their sins. I have risen from the dead. You are witnesses to the gospel, to my death, my burial, my resurrection. And now you are to go and tell others what I have done. So Jesus says, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and I want you to wait. Earlier in the Gospel of John, he had said, look, I do not intend to leave you without help as orphans. I've always been there for you. You've always depended upon me. I go to my Father and I will pray the Father that he will send you another helper, a helper equal to me. I will pray the Father to send you the Holy Spirit. Now go, wait for that promise. You go and wait and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit does come upon you. Now we read a bit further. Verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels apparently. And these men said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they, the disciples, returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued. Now underline this. This is what we're going to look at tonight as we look at the Church of Acts, as we look for the founding principles of the Church of Jesus, as we look at the basic building blocks of the real Church of Jesus Christ. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Let's hear it again. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. That's where it begins. They heard the promise of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. He will empower you. Now I want you to go and wait. And notice, they have learned from the Master. They understand the mindset of their Lord. And we see the first church. We see the first disciples, the first followers of Jesus gathered together. And they continue, they are persistent. With one accord, there's a harmony, there is a passion. They are passionate for their Savior, and they are passionate for one another. And this love of Jesus binds them together in a great and gracious harmony. They are persistent, they are passionate, and they are prayerful. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Persistence, passion, and prayer. These are founding principles of the Church of Acts. These must be founding principles of our church, of this church. These must be the principles that true believers, that real followers of Christ abide by, that we hold to. These are the building blocks. We can't go any further unless we start right here. Our church will never accomplish the things that we see in the Church of Acts unless we stop and start right here. We have to go back to the founding principles, to the basic building blocks. If we want Mountain View Baptist Church to be anything like the Church of Acts, if we want our membership to be registered with the Church of Acts, this is where it starts. We need to be persistent, passionate, and prayerful. It must be true in our individual, private, devotional lives. We must be those who are very persistent for the gospel, who are passionate for Jesus Christ, and who are ever in a mind of prayer. And it must be true of the church at large, as we gather as a congregation. These three things must unite us in purpose. We must be persistent. We can't be those who give up. We need to be those who we charge through discouragement. We walk victoriously over the enemy and temptation. We are those who are ever engaged together in prayer. It must be true for each of us individually, and it must be true for this church as a whole. Persistence, passion, and prayer. There's a lot of different churches today. Your membership, you could put it with the liberal church. You could place it in the political church. You could be part of a dead church. Is that really what you want? Are you really content with anything less than what you see with what we read in the book of Acts about the Church of Acts? Will you be content for your church to be anything less than what we see in the Scripture as what a church is truly intended to be? The successes, the accomplishments, the power of the Holy Spirit, the great love of the gospel. Will you be content with anything less? See, as we go through the book of Acts, studying about the Church of Acts, we must be challenging ourselves. We must say, I don't want anything less than what we read in this book. We must challenge ourselves to not be satisfied with anything less than what the Holy Spirit has been proven to do here in the pages of Scripture, in the pages of history, and what we will see Him do in this church if we surrender our lives to Him, to His will. The Church of Acts, the Church of Acts, Mountain View Baptist Church needs to be part of the Church of Acts. Well, we see the persistence. They continued. They all continued. All of us. We need to be those who continue together. We need to be persistent as the Church of Acts was persistent. We read in the book of Hebrews where the writer exhorts us never to forsake, never to neglect an opportunity to gather with the saints, to be part of the congregation. When the doors of the church are open, her people should be gathered within. We are told, charged, exhorted not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, of the body of Christ. We should be those who are persistent, who continue. All of us together, you see. Persistence, it's so important. Not just in attendance, though. We want to be those who are together, ever moving forward. It's not just that we want to have a full house on Sunday. That's not it at all. See, we want to be gathered together so that we can be strengthened in the grace of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, motivated by the urgency of the gospel, that we might ever be moving forward in the name of Jesus Christ and for the cause of His kingdom. But if we're not here, how can we do that together? We need everybody to be together, to be on the same page, to have the same motivation, that we might persist together in the things of the kingdom, in the things of the gospel. We must be those who are willing to endure. Again, we go to the book of Hebrews. We look at chapter 12, and we see that Jesus, He endured the cross. Think about that. He endured it. It sounds like it was difficult, doesn't it? You've all seen the passion plays, the film accounts. You've read the stories in the Gospels of how Jesus went to Calvary, how He was bludgeoned and bloody, how He was crucified. That's endurance. He gave His all. He endured to the uttermost. We need to be those who endure no matter what. We read about Jesus. No matter what came against Him, He endured it. Why? Because of the joy that was set before Him. Okay, He despised the shame. He hated the cross. But He endured it for the joy that was set before Him. Whatever comes our way, whether it comes against us personally or we suffer an attack corporately, we need to endure because we see what's ahead, because we look ahead, because our eyes are on the prize, and we see the glory that awaits us, and we say that these present sufferings, they are not to be compared with that future glory that awaits us. We must endure whatever cross comes our way. We must endure because of the joy that is set before us. Jesus saying to you and to me, to our church, well done, my good, my faithful servants. You have endured, and I now open the gates of heaven. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So if we want to be anything like the Church of Acts, we must be persistent. We must be persistent in ever engaging together. When the doors are open, we are here, because here is where we find our strength together. Whatever our individual private devotion is, if we are not plugging in to the local church, if you are forsaking the opportunities that you have here at this church when the doors are open, well, how can we then persist together? How can we then together accomplish great things for the kingdom? We must be a persistent church. No matter what comes our way, we are willing to stand together and walk victoriously through the ranks of the enemy, through those battle lines, ever fighting forward as Christian soldiers, armed with the sword of the Spirit and the armor of God. But we got to be together. There's strength in numbers. When you're discouraged, here I am to encourage you, but if you're not here, what can I do? How can I pray for you? How can you pray for me? How can you meet my spiritual need if you're not here? See, the church is a body. We all serve a purpose. We all have a function. We need to be together, and we need to endure. We need to be persistent. The Church of Acts, they were a persistent church. Mountain View Baptist Church needs to be persistent. And we need to be passionate. Notice, they all continued with one accord. There was a great harmony. They were in love with Jesus, and they showed that love to one another. Passionate. Passionate for their Savior. Passionate for their church family. There was an accord. There was a harmony. A harmony of love. Love for Jesus and love for one another. It's so important. It cannot be underestimated or undervalued. Jesus said frankly, you love one another. My people, you, my disciples, you love each other. And when you do, when the world sees that, they will know that you are my people, that you are my disciples. It's an earmark of every true saint and believer. When we show love for our brothers and sisters, it is evidence, it is proof that we love the Savior and that we are His people, that we are not part of this world, that we are not of this world. We are of the kingdom of heaven. We are of the Lord Jesus. We are His sheep, His people. He is our shepherd, our king. It's so important that we have a passion for Him. See, if I would first develop a passion, a devotion to my Savior, to the Lord Jesus, I will then find it practical than to show love to my brothers and sisters. Obviously, there are those, even in the church, even in the family of God, who can sometimes, they can bring out the worst in me. They can test me. They can test you. There are those people that sometimes you find it hard to get along with. But if you would first submit to the love of Jesus, you would find then He would give you the power. You would have the desire in pleasing Him to love your brothers and sisters, even those that you sometimes find unlovable. Because as you fall in love with Jesus, as you realize how much He loves you and how much grace He has shown to you, well, you begin to see yourself in His light. You begin to realize you're not worthy of His love. You certainly don't deserve all of His blessings. And if you didn't deserve it, but yet He loves you, well, then that person that you look at, that you look down upon, who doesn't deserve your love or your favor, well, suddenly your heart will be turned, convicted. You will love them because Jesus loved you. You didn't deserve it. They don't deserve it. But you were loved. And so you show love. See, that's how it works. It's practical. We can't expect to act like Jesus unless we have spent time in His presence. But if we would spend time in His presence, if we would develop our devotional life with Him, if we would become passionate for Him, you would then find that, like John says, you know, His commands, like for instance to love others, His commandments are not burdensome. They're a great delight. We just need to start at the basics. Fall in love with Jesus. Be persistent and be passionate for your King. This also developed in the Church of Acts a passion for purpose. You see, they were loving Jesus, which allowed them to love one another. And as this passion began to stir in their midst, well, next thing you know, there's a great purpose. They are passionate for the purpose of their Savior. We see them now gathered together because Jesus said, there's a promise awaiting for you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. We see them gathered. We see them waiting. In the next chapter, in our future studies, we will see them empowered. You see, they were passionate for the Savior, and now we see them passionate for the purpose of their Savior. Jesus had work for them to do. He had plans for His people. And as people were gathered, they were waiting. They would be empowered to accomplish those purposes. We want to be persistent and we want to be passionate because we want to be part of the Church of Acts. They were prayerful. How important is prayer? Prayer changes things. And the very first thing it does is it changes me. You see, because as I desire to have the will of God done in my life, well, the Lord then, as I pray, He begins to mend my will. He begins to conform my mind to His. His will is accomplished as my will through prayer is bent to His. This church was a prayerful church. Mount View Baptist Church also needs to be a church that understands prayer is vital. It is absolutely necessary. That's why in the back, we have our Pray for That prayer calendar. And we have asked that every single person here not leave until they are signed up for a day, or for more than a day, but that their name is on that calendar for a day of fasting and prayer. Pray for that. We want to be engaged in prayer. Whatever it is, whether it is big, whether it is small, when someone comes to you, when you go to someone else, pray for that. Hey, brother, sister, I have this need. I have this problem, this issue. Pray for that. Someone comes to you and your response should be, let us pray for that. You have a need. You have a trial, a conflict, something that you're facing. You need to find a brother and a sister and ask them, would you pray for that? We need to pray without ceasing. We need to pray unceasingly. We need to learn to ever have a conversation, a never-ending dialogue with our Lord. Whatever comes our way, we pray for that. Heavenly Father, do you see the need? Lord, here's my problem. Lord, I know that you see, and I know that you will provide. Whatever it is, we need to pray for that. We need to develop just this constant conversation where we are truly walking and talking with the Lord. And we bring everything before Him. And we're just walking with Him. You know, like you and I, we're walking down the street and something comes up in our conversation. I would ask you, pray for that. Well, if you're walking with Jesus, oh, Jesus, do you see that? Do you hear this? Oh, I take this to you. Lord, I need this. Lord, would you take care of that person? Lord, do you see their need? And we talk to Him like we would talk to any friend. See, we need to have a practical and powerful prayer life where it's just part of our habit. We're ever speaking with and talking to our Lord, taking our needs before Him, interceding on behalf of our brothers and sisters, praying for our church, praying for those we love, praying that the Lord's will would be done in our midst. Because we want to be a persistent church, a passionate church, and a prayerful church. We want to pray about everything and anything. Pray for that. Always should we be in conversation with our Lord. Pray for that. Pray that we would be a persistent people, a persistent church. Pray that we would be a passionate people and a passionate church. Pray that we would be engaged together in prayer like never before. Every person's name should be on that prayer calendar at least once. And I see many people already are signed up for several days in the month. We need to understand the power, not just of prayer, because sometimes we can almost make it a sort of ritualistic rabbit's foot. No, none of that. When we pray for that, we are praying to our Heavenly Father. We are speaking with our gracious Savior. See, it's a dialogue. It's communication. It's a conversation. It's not just a lucky rabbit's foot. We're not just rubbing on the genie's lamp. We're speaking with our Savior about the needs of our brothers and sisters, about the desires we have for this church to be the Church of Acts in the city of Ontario. That's what we want to see. So pray for that. Pray that we would be persistent together, that we would be passionate for Jesus Christ and His gospel, and that we would be a people and a church of prayer. Let me leave you with this. When my grandfather, Jerry Osborne, died, this is how my cousin, my dear cousin, Jared Munson, this is how he eulogized him in a farewell letter of sorts written to our grandfather. November 18th, 1997, it's dated. Here lies a great man of God, a great husband, a great father, a great grandfather. Preacher and pastor, a great shepherd, a man of devotion. He was saved as a junior in high school. He became a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. He stepped over the line, the decision was made. He was a disciple of Christ. He didn't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. He now lived by faith, leaned on His presence, walked by patience, lifted by prayer, and labored with power. He didn't give up, shut up, let up until he stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. He was a disciple of Jesus. He preached to let all know and worked till He stopped him. And when it was his time to go, Jesus had no problem recognizing Jerry Osborne, because his banner was clear. That's what made him what he was, a great man of passion, a great man of God. And that's what he wants all his grandchildren and followers to become. To the best of my ability, with all my strength, love, power, and might, I promise you, Grandpa, to follow in your footsteps and example. Thank you for answering the call and being faithful. I love you, Grandpa. Your grandson, Jared Munson. That letter says everything. It speaks about a man who was persistent, passionate, and prayerful. And it also gives us a glimpse into another man's heart, into the heart of a grandson who saw the legacy, the faithfulness of his grandfather, of my grandfather. And we see in this young man's heart, in my cousin's heart, this desire to be persistent, passionate, and prayerful. This must be our desire. This is what is required if Mountain View Baptist Church is going to be part of the greater church of Acts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we're so stirred up by your word. We want Mountain View Baptist Church, we want this church to be like the church of Acts. A church that is persistent, a church that is passionate, and a church that is ever engaged in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to be about your business, about the business of the gospel of Jesus. Help us to be persistent and passionate and prayerful, that this church might be a lighthouse for the gospel. Heavenly Father, might many in Ontario and in the surrounding communities come to a knowledge of your Son through this church. Might many believers who have been cast by the wayside once again find refreshment of faith, revival of spirit in this church. Lord, help us to be persistent, passionate, and prayerful. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.